Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this, in your ears right now, is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please do remember, we are not experts, we're just podcast hosts, and we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And we absolutely love hearing from you. If you would like to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And just a reminder, if we mention anything on the show, we always link to it on our website, forever35podcast.com.
Like what we're going to talk about in this first listener email. A listener writes, "Loved the dupes episode and my shopping list has grown. My favorite dupe is a replacement for the Chanel Glossomer in Blizzard, which was sadly discontinued. The new Chanel colors have nothing similar. Wet n Wild's Mega Slicks in Bronze Berry is my $3 saving grace, and I buy one every time I'm in my neighborhood Walgreens. Love the pod. Keep the dupe recommendations coming."
That is a hot tip.
Yeah, I was really pumped about this one. We've gotten a lot of great dupe follow-ups. We'll do Dupe and Duper 2.
Dupe and Duper?
Yeah, Dupe and Duper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Starring me as Jim Carrey and you as the blonde guy? Or other way around?
I'll have to think about that. We'll have to workshop that.
Who will Photoshop our heads into those two characters from Dumb and Dumber? Wet n Wild. You know, I would love to dig in a little bit more to this line.
Because I agree.
Wet n Wild, I believe, is cruelty-free.
Yes, I think we've had this conversation.
I feel like Jackie J.
Yeah, Jackie J is a big Wet n Wild proponent.
Wet n Wild woman. And Mega Slicks in Bronze Berry, that sounds great. I realize you and I have a discussion coming up in which you were talking about how you have too many lip glosses.
Yes.
On an upcoming full-length episode.
But it's so funny that you say that, because as you were reading this, I was thinking, oh, that sounds like a color I would like.
I know. I was also thinking $3 saving grace.
Yeah.
Great hot tip. And I'm sure if Bronzeberry is not your color, not familiar with their Mega Slicks line, but I'm about to get familiar
with
it.
Oh, yeah, you are.
So I just, Wet n Wild fans, weigh in. I will say I have their eyeliner, mm-hmm. like just an eyeliner yeah. stick, and I love it. It's great.
Yeah, and I have an eyeliner of theirs too. It used to be 99 cents. It might have gone up to like $1.99.
Well, we really appreciate that price point.
We sure
Let's
do.
Let's just say. All right. Dori?
I'll take it away.
You do this one.
"Dear Kate and Dori, I'm writing to weigh in on your flossing dilemma. Gum issues run in my family, so my dental hygienist was always urging me to floss. I was non-compliant until she described not flossing as the hygienic equivalent of, quote, taking a giant gross shit and wiping down your butt cheeks, but not your asshole, end quote. I floss every day now. I'm sorry this is so crass and disgusting. I'm cringing that I'm sending this email to people I don't know, although you feel like friends. It just that it really was a reframe that turned me into a daily flosser. What a reframe.
I mean, is this an image you will ever get out of your head?
Taking Unfortunately, a gross... no. And now our listeners won't either.
I know, listeners. Just thinking about how my grandmother... I've told you this, I think. My grandmother called poops BMs, which is an abbreviation for bowel movement. Mm-hmm. But until I was about 25, I thought there was a word called BM, like B-E-A-M-E. She couldn't even say poop. She said BM.
Wow.
I loved her, man. She was the best. But anyway, so now I'm thinking about that.
Yeah.
How that would be. Also, who wipes their butt cheeks when they poop? Nobody, right?
Also, how did the dental hygienist come up with this analogy?
You're sitting in the chair. Your mouth is probably like open. There's like that sucking tube in it. You've got the little bib on.
You can't react. You can't really respond.
What if that like big mouth clamp is in you? And the hygienist is flossing you and they're like, you know, you've got to do a better job flossing because if you don't floss...
Don't repeat it.
Okay.
I can't. But I can't hear it again.
Ugh. But you know what? Gross. Ever since receiving this email, every night when I get into the bathroom, I'm like, ugh, I don't want to floss.
I got to wipe my butt.
Not just my cheeks, but my butt, my mouth butt.
My mouth butt.
I'm so sorry.
You do like to talk about your butt. Now you like to talk about your mouth butt.
I do. It all comes back to butts. You know what? I will say a listener called in, I think, because they heard me saying that I have these little acts of resistance where I don't want to do the thing. And it was really funny. This listener was like, I don't know if you've ever read Gretchen Rubin's book, The Four Tendencies. I was like, listener, we had Gretchen Rubin on and we talked about it, which I forgive you. But the listener suggested that I was a rebel.
Interesting.
And they were like, it blew my mind when I discovered I'm a rebel and I hate to do stuff. And I was like, but I'm also an obliger. I'm a people pleaser. Mm. Except maybe when it comes to flossing, maybe then I'm a rebel. I don't know. But I've been flossing a lot more.
It does strike me that you're only a rebel with things that only have to do with you.
Well, that's the obliger, right?
Yeah.
Like if I had to floss your teeth every day, I would do it obsessively.
My mouth butt.
Your mouth butt. Oh, goodness. Like I'm on my kids about flossing.
Right.
Two times a day. I'm like, you flossing your teeth.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, secretly what they don't know is at night, I don't want to do it. Anyway.
Wow. I hope they never listen to this podcast.
No, because they will 100% use the phrase mouth butt with pure joy. They love body talk. Okay. We have a really intriguing voicemail that I wanted to share.
Hi. I had to pause the pod because you were talking about pimple patches and wearing them out in public, which I fully support. But I do not support wearing them to work. I work in a semi-professional casual work environment. Jeans on Fridays, black pants and a tunic most other days. So business casual. I have seen 3 people in the past 2 weeks come to work, and we do work with the public some, with pimple patches on their face. That's not okay. Is it? I don't think it's okay. I thought it was really weird. I would never come to work with a pimple patch on my face. I'll go to the grocery store. I'll go to the gym. But I would never think about going to work with a pimple patch on my face. Am I being too critical? I didn't say anything to anyone. But in my head, I was thinking that's really weird. And why would you wear a pimple patch to work? Anyways, I love the pod. Have a good day. Bye, guys.
Very interesting.
I don't think it's a big deal.
I'm with you.
I do think it's interesting this person says they work with the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am coming at it from a perspective of someone who has had the privilege of working from their home since, I did work with the public also when I was a red carpet reporter. Mm-hmm. But for I spent a lot of time working
now
from
home. Now you
just
walk red carpet.
That's right. Now I'm just award winner. Would I have gone into my office with a pimple patch on my face?
I think I personally would have been too self-conscious, but I don't think I, like, I think it's fine if you want to do it.
I do too.
And I also think, like, this stuff should be normalized.
Pimples or pimple patches?
Pimples, pimple patches, the whole gamut.
Well, that is the thing here, is really what we need to work on is a cultural overhaul. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, pimples are part of us. Got one on my chin right now. Like that kind, I've got it down, but like the kind that bruise.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't pick at it and it seems to have subsided.
I mean, look, maybe these people wore pimple patches because they didn't want to be picking their face all day. And wouldn't mm-hmm. you rather be looking at a pimple patch than like a huge gash on their face from them picking their pimple?
I do understand the question of like, is this weird to wear something like just yeah. you know you're not commenting, it's just that kind of inner monologue that we have of like, what is that, is that weird, why are they doing
right
that?
Totally,
which I totally get
well,
that.
Well, and you know, to provide a counterpoint to my counterpoint,
well, look at you just devil's advocating yourself.
there is a point at which I think, especially if you do interact with the public, that it can become a distraction. And maybe you don't want that distraction when you're interacting with the public.
Yes. Like, for example, are you a bank teller? Are you a social worker? Are you right. a like district attorney? Like, what are the interact? Yes, I agree. I also think, you know, if you can just have a pimple on your face, that's also okay, too.
Totally.
But perhaps the patch is there for a reason. We don't know.
Right. I mean, that was why I said maybe it's there so they don't pick at it.
Yeah. But we
don't know. We don't have enough information.
What's interesting to me is that pimple patches are becoming a more used item.
I also wonder if these people were like, no one can see these pimple patches. They're transparent.
Right. And then
actually they're not.
Yeah. Listener, you
listeners,
know,
weigh in.
Weigh in. Do you wear pimple patches to work? I kind of think it's the kind of thing that even if you wouldn't do it, who cares if somebody else does? It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, would you wear, if you had a cut on your face, you would put a Band-Aid on.
Exactly. Right. So listener, that is my question to you. If these people had just put Band-Aids on their faces, how would you feel about that?
Yeah, because you know what's interesting? To us, a bandage symbolizes like a wound or something happened.
Right.
But a pimple patch, we can see what the thing is. So if you just, I don't know where I'm going with this. But
also, like, I think a pimple patch implies some sort of vanity.
Ooh.
You know, yeah. Whereas a Band-Aid implies like, I need to have this on because I have a wound on my face. Pimple patches seem optional.
Now, would you think it weird if I went to work with not a pimple patch over a pimple, but like a big blotch of like a drying lotion?
Yes.
So there's the line for you.
That is the line for me.
Okay. Okay.
I would think it was weird. I would probably, I don't know. I think I would think it was weird. I wouldn't say anything, but I would think, huh, that's odd that Kate, like, I'd be like, did Kate forget to wash that off?
And I'd be like, no, it was a choice.
Yeah.
I dry out my pimples all day.
But also, like, then another counterpoint to the counterpoint of my counterpoint.
Sorry.
Like, I'm really waffling here.
No, you're being very thoughtful.
I don't want to feel like I'm operating on this like ableist plane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
So I feel like I need a whole recalibration of what I think is like okay for people to do to their faces in the office.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would like to reframe that as well.
So I think that's where I'm landing.
Okay. Well, I like landing there.
Ultimately
with you.
Counterpoint to this person, because it was a counterpoint to the counterpoint to the counterpoint.
I'm so lost on the point level here.
Does New York Magazine still do the backlash to the backlash to the backlash thing? Remember they used to have that little graph?
Yes, I don't know, but I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Well, that's where we've landed.
Yep.
Anyway, great question, listener.
Yep.
Never come up yet. So thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Yep.
We're going to take a break.
We are.
Keep talking counterpoints, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click Get Started, and then use our code FOREVER35 at sign up, and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college? When I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress.
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have Honey Love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
So we received a very interesting, like, social dilemma email.
I have a lot of thoughts about this email.
Okay, I can't. Why don't I read?
Yes, go
and
ahead.
And then you weigh in. Hey, Kate and Dory, I'm hitting you up on the jeems, as you say. Love listening to the pod, and I thought you might have some interesting thoughts on this situation I'm in. I'm a longtime American expat, currently living in a developing country in Asia where my family is originally from. My husband and I were friendly with another expat couple, and I was friendly with the wife, but not super great friends. We hung out one-on-one once, and I tried to be friendly and helpful to her, but she's a real drag to be around because she hated the country we were living in, which is a whole host of major problems. But she could talk or think of nothing else but those problems as if they were directed specifically at her. I found this at best entitled and at worst insulting. My family is from this country, and it's really no fun to hear someone extremely privileged diss it every second. Anyway, she and her husband moved to a quote, first world standard Asian country, and she continued to bang on about how awful country number one was, although she left. I know this because we were on a WhatsApp group together, and after a few of those comments from her, I finally exited the group. I have had enough of this woman. Now my husband and I are moving to the same country, but it doesn't seem that she has gotten the hint. Her husband is very friendly and an all-around nice guy, and it will be difficult to avoid them as we are part of an expat journalist community. How would you handle this? Like Kate, I don't like confrontation, but I feel like I need to say something to be clear as to why I don't want to spend time with her. My time with friends is precious to me and limited, and I don't want to waste it with someone who is so unaware of how she sounds and, frankly, up her own ass.
I love that conclusion. This is a very interesting dilemma, very specific dilemma.
It is, but I feel like it requires a kind of interaction that is probably fairly universal, right?
Yeah. I'm also curious, like, they haven't moved yet. They don't know what the situation in this new country is going to be and how much they will actually have to interact with this woman. They say it will be difficult to avoid them as we are part of an expat journalist community. But things could be totally different in this other country.
So let's err on the side of optimism that it
be. Yeah, I kind of feel like I kind of feel like this is a real, like, cross that bridge when you come to a situation.
Okay.
Like, I don't think you need to preemptively take this like grand stand against this woman and tell her preemptively, I don't want to hang out with you because you're up your own ass. I think you can just not hang out with her. Also, like, is your husband aware of how you feel about this woman? Like, I think you should make it clear to him. Don't seek out, you know, hanging out with her husband.
Yes. Please don't schedule any one-on-one dates.
You know, double dates or even one-on-one dates. Like, I don't want to cultivate their friendship. So I think you two need to be on the same page about this.
100%. You are a team in this social world together.
Yes. Should I take this one away?
Yes, please.
Okay. Hi, Kate and Dory. I wanted to see if your listeners had any advice on self-care while at work. I work in a traditional office setting and love my job. However, just like with anything else, it can get stressful and I need to take a moment to myself. I want to find some ways to practice self-care while at work. Here is what I do now. Having a reusable water bottle, refilling it, and making sure I stay hydrated throughout the day. Keeping my favorite lip balm, hand lotion, and essential oil rollerball at my desk. I have a daily flip calendar with different inspirational quotes on my desk. Making myself my favorite tea during the afternoon. Trying to keep my work at the office, not checking my work email after hours. Packing my lunch, not because I'm a health nut, but because I feel happier and more energized when I eat nourishing foods. I also keep some healthy snacks like granola bars and almonds in my desk. I have a weekly self-reflection time where I reflect on my goals and what I accomplished that week. It helps me stay positive and focused. Using my Apple Watch as a reminder to stand up and move a little each hour and taking quick walks around the building, inside or outside, around the block, if the weather is nice. This helps clear my head and keeps me feeling active when I have a sedentary job. Do you guys or your listeners have any other tips? Love the pod and thanks. Can I just say, when I first read this email, I read it quickly and I thought she said, here are some tips that I have learned like to practice self-care at work. Like it didn't like register to me that she was asking for tips, because I was like, wow, these are amazing work self-care tips.
But they say that here's what I do now.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying like this listener seems to already have an amazing self-care routine at work.
Yes.
I am impressed.
You have embodied.
Yes.
I will say one thing. Well, I really do love that you said you take quick walks around the building. I would also say, like, take your lunch. Take a lunch hour. And I know, like, different company cultures have different ways where, like, you go to an organization and, like, nobody takes an actual lunch break. Everyone eats at their desk or whatever. And so it can feel like you are rebelling against the culture of a corporation when you do it differently.
That's a great suggestion.
So I would say, like, take that hour or whatever it is for you, even 30 minutes, like go eat outside if the weather permits. Go eat at a cafe.
Listen to a podcast.
Yes, like read your book. Yeah. Like take an actual break, because I love that you pack your lunch. Or go eat with coworkers and chat. Like yeah. Anything that is just a mental break, a physical break, something that gives you just a way to reset and like have some pleasure and enjoyment. Isn't working, even if, you know, you take pleasure from your work, but like you do, if you can help it, give yourself that rest.
I think that's a really good suggestion.
Well, thank you. My other thought is to also use your commute for self-care.
Mm.
Let's see how long that groan was going to go.
It was more a sigh of appreciation.
Well, you know, when I lived in New York City for 10 years, and Dory, you also lived there for a very long time. And I think this has changed a bit, but your phones didn't work on the subway when you were underground, so you couldn't be like reading your Twitter feed. So I did so much reading or listening to things on the subway. And here in Los Angeles, when I'm commuting around for work stuff, I really do try to, I find audiobooks to be a really great way, other like as opposed to like listening to CNN just play over and over again on my car radio for 2 hours, an audiobook, an episodic podcast, something that gives your brain information mm-hmm. and pleasure, but is different from like instead of like making work calls for an yeah. hour or reading through your work emails on the subway.
Those are great suggestions.
Anybody else have any other tips? You know, you could have a little tiny desk humidifier. Those offices get dry.
They do get real dry.
Love having a cozy blanket or a cozy sweater at work. Mm-hmm. They also get cold.
I mean, I don't know how casual your office is, but I sometimes would take slippers to the office.
I mean, you did work at BuzzFeed.
I did.
Anything goes at BuzzFeed.
Yeah, but that was real nice.
Slippers. At the office?
Yes.
I have never seen that. And would you walk around in slippers?
Sometimes, yeah.
One.
Sometimes I would just like at my desk, I would like slip on my slippers.
Yeah, well, I bet that would feel very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that is adorable. I love that you would walk around. I worked at like a financial company in my 20s. Like I can't
There were no
even,
slippers.
There were no slippers. I mean, it was like full on business. I had to wear like a pencil skirt every day.
Wow.
So
corporate Kate.
It was very corporate. I had another thought. This might just be me, but one of my favorite activities when I worked in a big office was going to the bathroom on a different floor. Because it was like I got to go for a little walk and actually take a mental break and like not have to see people that I worked with. If you work in 1515 Broadway, I would go down to the 7th floor, pee, go back up to the 8th floor. Very specific shout out there. But you know what I mean? Like it just gave you an actual stretch of time. Like
yeah.
Made the bathroom break like a walking
yeah,
break.
Yeah, that's nice.
Change of scenery.
I mean, now I'm thinking like, you know, at like 3 o'clock every day when I used to drink coffee, that would be my time to like go to the coffee shop and get like a latte or something. Mm-hmm. You could like use that. You could use 10 minutes and just meditate.
Ooh. Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Listen to a meditation app.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say you could go get a thin mint. Something about an afternoon thin mint sounds so good to me.
There is that something about getting up from your desk at 3 o'clock and mm-hmm. getting like a snack or a drink or whatever, I think is important.
Yes.
3 o'clock is like that time when you just you really just want to take a nap.
Yep. Which, you know what? If your work has a nap room, you're at some sort of cool company with nap rooms.
Go take a nap.
Take that nap. All right. All right. Whoa.
Wow. But yeah, we would love to hear from listeners about their own self-care practices at work.
And all sorts of, like, we've heard from nurses.
Yeah.
So much great nurse self-care.
Yeah.
Weigh in, people of all professions.
Yeah. But I think, you know, cubicle self-care is a very specific genre of self-care.
That, yes, because you're in a public space and your self-care has to, like, be contained.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's take a break.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article. And I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
We've got a lot of work questions today.
We do.
Here's another voicemail that's kind of about career stuff.
Hey, this is Abby calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I called earlier and I think I just got cut off, but I am calling. I'm leaving work. I work at a pharmacy and I have been working at a pharmacy for a couple of years now, getting my undergrad degree and just got into pharmacy school and I'm super excited about it. It's a 4-year program, a doctorate program. And I'm just really excited to go to school in the fall, but a lot of times at the pharmacy, we'll have fill-in pharmacists where we'll have pharmacists that come in as patients. And whether I mentioned to them that I'm going into pharmacy as well, they often is the common comment is, why would you do that to yourself? There's no, like, any sane person wouldn't go into pharmacy right now. It's, you know, flooded market, blah, blah, blah. And I had a patient come in today that was, you know, like, was very aggressive with me as far as, like, you should not go into pharmacy. That is stupid. If you want to do that, you're setting yourself up for failure. Not necessarily me personally, but about the field in general. So I was just wondering how you guys deal with criticism or telling people, like people telling you to not follow what you feel like is right for you. I feel like there is still a lot of promise in the field of pharmacy for me, and I'm really open to change and adaptability that's in the field right now, which a lot of older pharmacists, you know, that have been in the field for 15, 20 years don't like the change that's been going on. So how do you deal with negativity from people that are in the field that you're wanting to go into that are being, you know, really harsh and while still like respecting the fact that they have, you know, tenure and have experience, you know, and is there anything to gain from listening to their criticism? Because a lot of it is just like, don't go into pharmacy, go into nursing, go into PA. And, you know, everything is, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. Everything looks better from the outside. I'm sure there's going to be nurses and PAs that would say, like, don't go into the market right now. It's crazy. But I was just wondering how you guys deal with that type of criticism. Thank you so much. Bye.
Ugh, Abby, I hate people. You fucking rock out that pharmaceutical program.
Yeah.
And you go in there with your brilliant ideas and your revolutionary, exciting new thinking and your passion for pharmacy, and you rock it out. Congratulations on getting into this program. Number one, you have put in the work. It sounds hard. You love what you do. You are excited about the innovation. And we need you.
Yeah.
And kudos to the pharmacists who have paved the way. But you know what? Experience does not always equal or does not always make somebody right.
Yeah.
And wow, I'm really fired up.
Yeah,
about
you
this.
Are.
You're excited about this. So, you know what? Someone says, don't go into pharmacy. Oh, okay, cool. Thanks for sharing your opinion. Block it out. Bye.
And move on.
Because
don't get into a discussion with them.
No. Who gives a poop?
Fig.
Who gives a fig what these people think? You're excited about it. You're inspired. You're learning about like cutting edge changes in your industry. Like, we need you. We need you.
You can say, Kate and Dory said, we need you.
We want to meet you when we go to the pharmacy.
Yes.
I was so excited by everything you were saying. Like, I could feel the passion. This is what you
really
want
came
to do.
Through.
Yes. And you know what? We all, if you're in an industry for a long time, have ups and downs, and it can be discouraging. And I'm sure there are immense challenges and changes that are happening. I don't know much about being a pharmacist, so I cannot speak to it, nor can Dory, unless she has a secret career I don't know about.
No, I don't.
But I think that also we have to let our excitement and our drive and our love for something like push us past that.
Yeah.
You don't want to be a nurse or a PA. You want to be a pharmacist.
Yeah. Period. End of story.
Yeah. So you know what? Somebody thinks that's a bad idea. Well, F them.
Yeah.
You tell them to floss. And then if they don't floss, it's like not wiping their butts.
Yeah. That should be your response.
That will be the that will get them moving out of your way. Anyway, I don't want to. Those conversations can be tough. I would politely end them as quickly as they start.
Yeah.
Because you know in your heart of hearts what's best for you, and you're doing it. And we're proud.
Yeah, we are.
That's really rad. Congratulations.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Here's an email we received that we are going to end on. Hi, Kate and Dory. You and listeners are so wonderful at helping folks reframe narratives. I'm hoping you can help me too. Despite a really tough year, losing a loved one, a very challenging and frightening situation with my child, drama at work, a health scare, and a huge family drama with my husband and several other hard things, I survived, only to become obsessed with the world's silliest issue. I've been on a long journey to love my body, to accept its quirks, to see myself as strong and capable despite several chronic health problems. I do daily yoga and breathe and hike and try my best to wonder in my body. But because I have chronic low back pain, I became addicted to using a heat pad against the painful spot, sometimes for hours at a time for several years. One day I noticed a funny discoloration on my skin in that area, and my sister-in-law, a nurse, diagnosed me. Toasted back fat. OMG, I literally cooked my fat. It's weird looking brown spots that have now been there for 3 months. I've stopped using my beloved heating pad. There's nothing to do. It will maybe go away eventually. It's not harmful, just ugly. It hurts to use that word. My family is so lucky to go on a little vacation in March, and I'm so stuck in feeling ugly. I'm going to buy a high-waisted bikini bottom, but beyond that, I'd love to just not care. I know it's just spots on skin, but I'm still so stuck. Also, I do recognize the humor, and my dear family, always a fun, loving, and laughing bunch, are also quick to laugh at my misery. I want to laugh, too. Thank you for all of your wisdom as always, and thanks for any help. P.S. Kate, if you use a heat pad for your back pain, turn that sucker down, make sure it's covered well, and don't use it for hours.
Oof. Cautionary tale.
You know, listener, this is twofold for me. I would say, one, get ye to a dermatologist, and if you can ask if there are any options to heal your toasted skin. I know you had a medical professional in your family, your sister-in-law who is a nurse, but I would say, like, go handle this out on your own time if, you know, insurance permits and everything else, finances permit.
Because it's also possible she is wrong.
Totally. Get a second opinion from someone who doesn't know you or who does know you, whatever. But go see someone who specializes in skin and see, like, how to treat it. Also, like, you should just get that checked out.
Yes.
Like, regardless of the aesthetic of having spots on your skin, like, that sounds like something you should just get someone to check out. So that's my first suggestion. My second suggestion is to be kind to yourself in regard to not being kind to yourself. I think we can get into the space of, like, why am I not accepting myself? Why am I not loving myself? I want to love myself, and then I feel bad and I feel shame for not doing it. We live in a culture where, like, appearance and all there's so much emphasis put on how we look and parts of our body and everything else. You know this.
Yes.
That it's not easy to be like, oh, This thing is now different about me.
Totally fine.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It is okay to care. It's okay. I also say, like, if you don't want to hide the spots on your skin, you don't have to hide them. If you do, fine. You know, it is your choice on how to exist.
Yes.
Kate. My guess, it is the kind of thing that, because it is on your own body, you see it in a way that feels very large, and whereas others might not.
And it also has kind of taken on this bigger meaning for you.
Yeah.
It represents something that it seems like you feel some shame about.
Yeah. And, you know, and because I see you saying, like, you feel like it looks ugly, and then you feel it hurts to use that word. So I feel like you're feeling guilty for thinking something looks, you know, you... Mm-hmm. We want to love ourselves unconditionally, and we aspire for that. And it's sometimes
it's hard. Yeah.
Dory, any other thoughts? I have never heard of this.
I haven't either. I think, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think you should definitely see a doctor. And I think, yeah, like kind of like liberate yourself from this idea that you have to not care.
Yeah.
Like, let it go.
Like, you called it this being obsessed with the silliest issue. Like, maybe it's not silly.
Yeah.
And if it's silly to somebody else, okay, but it actually matters to you.
Yeah. And it mattered to you enough to write into a podcast about it.
A podcast hosted by two goofballs. But who care deeply about you.
Who do. And yeah. like, you know, I do sense, I am getting a lot of your anxiety around this. And I think what I try to do in these situations is just sort of like let myself live with that anxiety.
Yeah. Can I also say to this listener, like you did describe that you've had a really, really hard year.
Yeah.
You've lost a loved one. You've gone through situations with your kid and your partner and a health scare. And you also said that you have chronic back pain and chronic illness. And I don't know, you obviously don't tell us like what you're doing, you know, if you are talking to a therapist or like, but I think you deserve self-care for those things. And I think this situation is a valid part of that. It's not just like, oh, I'm feeling silly. I don't like something about myself. Yeah. Like it's a bigger thing and it might connect to other big parts of your life. And so I just want you to feel like all your feelings are valid. And also like you deserve whatever way you need to love yourself. Like you deserve it. You've had a really hard year yeah. aside from your toasted back fat, which sounds painful and painful. Frustrating. So anyway, we're thinking of you, listener.
We are.
And thank you for writing us.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.